It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for listening, wherever you might be, all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you've had a tremendous Tuesday. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So if you're on your way home, you're on your way to work, you're just working in the process, thank you for being here. I'm hanging out. We've had a busy day in the world of sports. Aaron Rodgers officially making his first statements to the media as a member of the Steelers. We got an update on Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals. There is no update. The Bengals are still cheap. There's no hockey today. There's no NBA. We got to wait for basketball tomorrow, hockey on Thursday. Maybe we get some more fights on Thursday. Man, we've discussed a lot. Hey, thank you so much. Earlier on in the show, we were joined by a guest. Herb Arkish came on through. Hub Arkish, Chicago legend, NFL analyst, coming through to have a chat about, well, Aaron Rodgers and everything else. And speaking of legends, I don't know if he's old enough to be a legend yet. We're going to be joined by U.S. soccer star Weston McKennie. Yeah, he plays for the U.S. men's national team, midfielder. Also plays for Italian club Juventus. Juventus getting ready to make its way to the United States of America to participate in the FIFA Club World Cup. Yeah, this is, you know, this is when we have these conversations every now and then, how the team that wins the World Series, how can they be world champions? Whoever wins the NBA championship, the Oklahoma City Thunder, likely, how can they proclaim themselves world champions if they're not taking on the best teams in the world? Like, Oklahoma City is not going to go to Europe and take on the EuroLeague champs. They're not going to go to Puerto Rico and face the champs there. There's no big old tournament. I guess the closest thing we might have is, and maybe not, that's a national thing, is the World Baseball Classic. Bottom line is we don't have the best teams facing the best teams. But here in the United States of America, all over the country, during the FIFA Club World Cup, we're going to have some of the best teams, not countries, some of the best teams are going to go against each other over the next month, starting about June 15th until the middle of next month as well. And so make sure you check out the Club World Cup. We'll have that chat with Weston McKennie. He'll be here in about 20 minutes, and we'll have that conversation. In the meantime, if you want to give me a holler, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you've missed a minute of the show, you can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can start from the beginning. You can listen to whatever you want as many times as you want. We have discussed a lot. And of course, being that this was his first time speaking to the media, we heard from Aaron Rodgers. And he pretty much said the reason why he is a Pittsburgh Steeler isn't because of the weather or the history. Well, I mean, of course it wouldn't be for the weather. I like the cold weather, but maybe he wouldn't. He played in Green Bay. He said it's because of Mike Tomlin. Listen to Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I think it starts with Mike Tomlin. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time. There's a few iconic franchises in the NFL. I played for one of them for 18 years. This is another one of those. There's something special about, obviously, this area. So many great quarterbacks are from Pittsburgh. I feel like Pittsburgh has been a part of my career from the beginning, playing for Mike McCarthy for 13 years, having Tom Clements, or Tommy Clements, depending on how old you are, as my quarterback coach forever, Don Capers, Kevin Green, Darren Perry, Ben McAdoo, Frank Cignetti, Luke Getsy. I don't want to forget anybody, but a lot of Yinzers in my life.
I'm sure he forgot somebody. I also like the way that Aaron Rodgers conveniently said, yeah, I played for, you know, one of these iconic franchises. Not the New York Jets, of course, but, you know, the Green Bay Packers. And don't ask Aaron Rodgers about the Jets because he won't even say Jets. Listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say about his his last team.
I'm not going to take any shots at my previous organization. If that's what you're trying to get me to do. I'm just going to talk about these guys. I like the opportunity here. I like the feel with the guys. I like how Mike T has been in the meetings.
He'll take his first shot at the New York Jets before they play the Jets in week one. Yep, that's the Steelers' first opponent. Sign me up. Okay, I want to see what Aaron Rodgers does against the Jets. Somehow, some way, he'll have four touchdowns, and maybe Justin Fields will have four interceptions. Well, not that many. He'll get benched. Anyway, yeah, we heard from him today. Who else did we hear from? Aaron Rodgers showed up to work. Oh, James Cook, running back for the Buffalo Bills. The man who wants a new contract. He also showed up to work, despite reports that he was going to hold out because he wants $15 million a year. James Cook said, I showed up at work today because I'm not trying to pay no fines. Listen to this.
I like my money. No, do. I definitely do. But so that's why I'm here. I mean, why not? I'm here. I'm part of the team and just not practicing with my leader. So it just got to practice and get a job. It's my team and in order not to win a Super Bowl or compete for a Super Bowl and have a winning season, have to be out there and be out there with my teammates.
He has no leverage. Okay. I don't care how many touchdowns he had last year. What, 18? He had 16 on the ground and 2 in the air. He had 18. That's a lot of TDs. He's a running back. He's not on the God level of a running back either. So they are not going to pay that man $15 million a year. He has no leverage. He had to show up to work. He's for real. I'm not trying to lose no money. At the end of the day, they ain't paying you no money back either. There's someone who doesn't have to worry about is Kirk Cousins. You don't have to worry about money. This guy's been franchise tagged, I think, more than any man that's ever played in the NFL. We do know that he is a backup right now for the Atlanta Falcons. They gave him a 4-year, $180 million contract last year. And let's just say Kirk Cousins, he has yet to be moved. He hasn't been traded. There was a report about whether or not he was going to show up or not. And he was here in Atlanta, Georgia. He played a good soldier. He showed up and he was a backup. And he said all the right things to the media when asked about what he needs to do. All he said was, well, I'm here. I'm going to be resilient about it.
Yeah, you know, I've always believed, going back to my rookie year, what Mike Shanahan told me, which is tough times don't last. Tough people do. It's not just physically tough, you know, it's mentally tough, emotionally tough. You got to be resilient. Life's gonna have some curveballs, and you just have to keep moving. And I think the key is that you don't pout or stop. You just keep moving, keep working forward, and believe that if you do that, you know, good things will happen.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't want him. He doesn't want to be there. Ultimately, he will get moved. Yeah, they're gonna move. What are you sticking around for? We had that conversation with Hub earlier on in the show as well. Like, they will move him. It's just a matter of when. Somebody's going to have to get hurt. Somebody's going to have to get desperate. And the first call is to the Falcons. And they can actually get more out of whoever the sucker is, too, at that point in time, depending on how far they are in the season. I don't see Kirk Cousins sticking around for the whole entire year. Somebody that is, I guess, sticking around, and he actually was able to throw the football today. That's another quarterback, C.J. Stroud, last week unable to throw the rock in Houston because they said he had a sore shoulder. People are looking like, wait a minute, it's June. Was he doing too much, and were they holding him out? Earlier today, C.J. Stroud was just like, man, my shoulder is fine. Y'all making a big to-do about this.
Yeah, I mean, I was already throwing, you know, before you guys see me out there pretty normally. I think y'all don't have much to talk about, so y'all just, everything is blown up in all season, so I'm fine, man. I'm really okay.
Is somebody who's not fine is another quarterback who he wasn't able to throw last week, and now we have no idea when he is going to throw. That's Anthony Richardson. This man is getting his shoulder checked out in Los Angeles by the same doctor who performed surgery on his shoulder 2 years ago. Must I remind you, it's June? I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Is he going to have enough time to prepare between the start of camp and the end of July, the start of the season? Probably not. It's like Daniel Jones is going to have this job. Take a listen to this upset head coach, Shane Steichen. He doesn't want to talk about anything having to do with Anthony Richardson and his recovery. Listen to this.
There's no timetable on the return, but yeah, we're just going to do his rehab, and once the doctor's clear him to throw, and we'll ease him back into it.
There was a report that he's going off to do like a second opinion or...
Yeah, he went out to L.A. to get a second opinion, yep.
Is that kind of standard? Or
yeah, I think a lot of guys get a lot of opinions for sure.
Yeah, funny guy that guy is, huh? It's June, he's already sick of questions about his quarterback. I can't blame him. Like, who wants to answer? Look, they drafted Anthony Richardson because this man could do backflips and he could run fast. But can he throw the football accurately? The answer looks like no. Can he actually be healthy? The answer to that also looks like no. Congratulations to Daniel Jones. Botcher, I hope he works out in Indianapolis. I don't have high hopes, but I want to see him get another chance.
I hope he just gets healthy at this point, because the more and more this goes on, it doesn't seem like he'll ever get a starting chance again.
Are you talking about Anthony Richardson?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about Daniel Jones.
Oh, he's fine. He's average.
I said I'm happy to see him get another chance and an opportunity.
It's okay, yeah, but I'm not going to go crazy if he does good. You know, he was taking top 10. He did start for a bunch of years.
He is average. But sometimes a different face in a different place can yield a different result. I mean, he wasn't the best, but he also played on a dumpster fire, ran him through multiple coaches and offensive coordinators. I mean, if he should be lucky, and I do not expect it, but if he should be lucky, he might be able to eventually have a little bit of a career renaissance like a Sam Darnold. Am I expecting a 14-3? Hell no. But a Geno Smith or a Baker Mayfield. I think we've seen over the past several years, you can be a quarterback in one place for a particular team, and you can get a chance elsewhere. And you might get a little bit of a stretch. I certainly don't look at G. I think Sam Darnold is going to go back to being garbage this year. Certainly, not, if not garbage, but not the numbers he put up this past season. I'm just happy that Daniel Jones gets another chance and opportunity. We got some of these quarterbacks out here that are just, oh, he's not there yet. I'm just anxious to see what he can do. Probably be average. You're correct on that one. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's a lot about the quarterbacks. How about this? We got a wide receiver also not at work today. Terry McLaurin said, no, I'm not showing up for Washington. I need a new contract. He's finishing up a 3-year, $68 million deal. You think about the top wide receivers in the game right now, these guys are making $35 and $40 a year. He is still making a little north of $20. That's not going to cut it. Dan Quinn, former coach here in Atlanta, a good guy, by the way. Dan Quinn, this is what he had to say about Terry McLaurin not showing up for work.
Hey, sometimes football and business, they intersect. And this is one of those times. Terry is a fantastic teammate and really puts in the work, and spent a lot of time with him already this offseason. So, but let's, the business side of things, you know, Adam and their crew and Terry and his group, they'll let them work through that.
Well, man, this is the part that kills me in some cases. The NFL as a league is making more than $20 billion a year. Everything is always about the business, and the players deserve their share of the money, which is basically half of it. And so this money has to get split up. And so when we start to get to arguing about who's getting paid and who's not getting paid, man, yes, these are billionaires and millionaires. But some of these billionaire owners, like the owners of the Cincinnati Bengals, man, they can be quite cheap. Terry McLaurin is going to get paid. I don't know what the hell is going on in Cincinnati. We discussed this last hour. You have a rookie who hasn't even signed his contract in Shamar Stewart. And then you have Trey Hendrickson, who's just been on a crusade for the past several months, telling everybody who would listen that the Bengals don't even talk to my agents about a new contract. It's a wild world. And so Trey Hendrickson not at work today. Shamar Stewart, he showed up to work, did not practice, just kind of sat around and then spoke to the media because he hasn't signed his contract. He told everybody, listen, I want to be on the football field, not sitting out watching.
It's very important. I mean, like, you got to get your body somewhat prepared to play football, especially me coming from college to the NFL is a way physical game, even though I play in SEC, which is very physical, but nothing compares to actually playing in the NFL. So I thought I'd be on the field by now. That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, and he's a rookie, so his contract is pretty much slotted already. Apparently, the Bengals are trying to eliminate some of his potential guarantees. They want to be able to not guarantee all of his bonuses. And it's just like, well, why do you want to do that by setting a new precedent? And so he spoke today, not just about his own situation, but the situation about Trey Hendrickson as well. And he basically blamed his new employers. Listen,
we all agree Trey will be right, right? But technically he's still 1% wrong for being under contract. So in my case, I'm 100% right. So it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17.5 sacks in two years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that.
Wow, what a way to make yourself endearing to the people who sign your checks. Wow. Well, it's the Bengals. Everybody knows this. And I told you guys, tomorrow, top six, I don't know which direction, but I'm going to have a top six list. Either dysfunctional or cheapest organizations, or maybe it's dumb. We got a lot of teams and a lot of organizations out here that either spend money in a ridiculous way, like the Matt Ishbias of the world with the Phoenix Suns. We got teams that just make dumb decisions like the New York Knicks and just trying to go for it. Getting rid of Tom Thibodeau to do what? I have no idea. We have organizations that don't spend money and spit in the fans' faces like the Pirates. Certainly the A's, who are now playing in Sacramento, basically on a rental property right now. Yeah, there's a lot of cheap teams in the world of sports. Man, damn it, there was a point in time. And it's amazing what an owner can do. Okay? We talked about this early in the show. Mike Brown, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, a notorious cheapskate. Before Steve Cohen bought the New York Mets, people looked at the Wilpons like, man, you're in New York City playing across the river from the New York Yankees. And you guys are just cheap as all get out. And now you look at a world where the New York Mets, they took a player from the Yankees in Juan Soto. That's not something that would have ever happened in the past, I don't know, forever. Since the 60s when the Mets came into existence. And so sometimes it's just a new owner. Look, the sports franchises, they do not decrease when it comes to evaluation. They go up and up and up. And it doesn't matter how much you spend. It doesn't matter how you treat your fans. I mean, damn it, Donald Sterling was a racist piece of trash. They forced this man to sell. He got a golden parachute for being a racist. Come on, man. You got a sports team. You got yourself a good asset. Just don't take the fans for granted. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something positive. We're going to have a chat with someone who plays for the U.S. men's national team, soccer. He plays for Juventus in Italy. This man is going to be participating here in the United States of America in the FIFA Club World Cup, which gets started in 5 days. Some of the best club teams in the world will be here stateside. I'm going to get Weston McKinney's thoughts on it on the other side of the break. This is an American coming home to play in this big event. We'll talk to Weston on the other side. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're only days away from the start of the FIFA Club World Cup. And right now we're being joined by someone who plays for the United States of America, someone who also plays for Juventus. We're being joined by midfielder and star Weston McKennie. Weston, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Just came fresh out of training, so doing good.
I'm sure you're always doing a lot of training. I bet on that, man. Yeah. How's the preparation right now for the FIFA Club World Cup? How's that going?
It's going good. Honestly, you know, we're training. We have obviously some players that are at the national team right now, so we don't have the full group in. But we're still pushing here and making sure that we're prepared for whenever we get over to America and experiencing new weather and definitely heat for some of the guys here. I'm used to it, thank God. Yeah, we're still kicking around here.
When you heard that this event was going to take place stateside, what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts, that at least after the tournament, I don't have to travel anywhere. I could just stay home. So no, but initial thoughts were that, you know, it's going to be good because a lot of my family and a lot of my friends, obviously, you know, have not had the opportunity to see me play with my club team, with Juventus. So I think it's a good opportunity for them to be able to come out, travel down and see, you know, see me play with my club team. So and also it's home, you know, nothing's like home. So it's nice to be there.
Weston McKennie is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. It's one thing for your friends and family to watch, but we have the Club World Cup here in the States, and then we also know the World Cup is going to be here as well. How is this helping to grow the sport stateside?
No, it's helping a lot, honestly. You know, the Club World Cup, I think, is just going to be a great lead up into letting people know that may not know so much about football or just the culture of football, to kind of get a people into what it's going to look like for the 2026 World Cup. You know, fans that may have not been fans before, or fans that, you know, don't get to normally see their teams that they may support over in Europe play in America. It's a great opportunity for them to be able to see that, get excited to see their favorite players that they normally don't get to see, or that they have to spend thousands of dollars to travel to see. So, you know, it's like I said, it's going to be a great lead up, you know, to kind of get the people in America riled up and waiting and ready and kind of, you know, in anticipation to what 2026 can look like.
Man, it's one thing to be playing for Juventus, but playing for the U.S. men's national team as well. There have been quite a few changes. How are things going right now with new coach Mauricio?
Going good. I think, obviously, you know, we still, you know, have room to grow, obviously with the results that we've had, but I think, you know, the culture and the attitude that is being built within our environment and within our group, is good. I think it's going in the right direction. I think it's, you know, we've had the talent, and I think what he's trying to bring in is that extra grit and you know, extra, you know, fight and kind of, I won't say nastiness or dirtiness, but you know what I mean? It'll just the extra little oomph and back into the group. So I think it's going in the right direction. I think we have a lot of room to grow, but I see a lot of positives that we take away from these past camps.
Weston McKennie is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. From the time that you've been playing professionally up until now, how have you seen the growth of the sport here stateside, from MLS to the players who come over and play stateside? How has that changed since you've been a pro?
Oof. it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. Obviously, it initiated with David Beckham coming over back to them, or going over to MLS, not back, but going to MLS, and kind of setting, you know, that pathway for other players such as, you know, Messi, Jordi Alba, Busquets, Giovinco, all these guys to kind of make their way to the MLS. I think it's amazing because, you know, at least over here in Europe with the people that I've, you know, encountered, or either fans or other players are either asking me about how MLS is or how soccer is in America. And I think, you know, them seeing those type of players going there is definitely helping bring a lot of attention to MLS. And also for the players that are coming up, you know, it was much more difficult and much more rare back whenever I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, that, you know, a player from America is, you know, being bought by a team in Europe. We always thought it was so much harder, you know, if you signed for an MLS team to make your jump to Europe. But I think now it's so much more common. And I think, you know, for players that, you know, don't make that jump immediately, at least still have a good chance to make that jump eventually, if that's what they desire and that's what they dream about. But the growth of MLS is in the right direction, and I hope one day that it gets to that level where players, you know, don't even want to leave, and where they're just, you know, like, I got the competition here. Obviously the only thing that kind of gets players excited to go to Europe is Champions League. Every player wants to play in Champions League and play against, you know, the huge name clubs around the world. But other than that, I think the talent, the potential and the growth of it is in the right direction.
Man, you're playing on one of those big global club teams with Juventus. You'll be here stateside, man. Tell everybody how they can follow you, check in on you, all that good stuff as we get ready for the Club World Cup, man.
I mean, obviously just tune in or look where the games are and what time they're at, and get a ticket and come out and support. I think the support will always be wanted and needed and appreciated.
No doubt about it. Look forward to seeing you running around stateside, Weston. Really look forward to it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Weston McKennie for coming through and having a chat with us about the upcoming FIFA Club World Cup. You know, we only had a couple of days away, June 15th, before we get some of the best teams from all over the world just balling out here in the United States of America. So that'll be a fun to watch. It's championship time. Finals are back in action tomorrow. First game in Indianapolis. I hope the Thunder just get it over with. There's no need to drag this one out. And then we got to get back to more hockey with the Stanley Cup final on Thursday, just to see if Edmonton is done fighting and if they actually want to, you know, maybe score a couple of goals here or there, do better than the one that they put in the net last night. Florida Panthers, we got a little bit of a lead right now, 2-1 in the Stanley Cup final. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of a lead, 10-2. The Yankees are smacking Kansas City 10-2. I did see that Patrick Mahomes is in attendance, is sitting down to watch the Kansas City Royals. Doesn't he have a minority stake in them too?
He does. He's an owner of a lot of teams.
He is. He got a lot of money to spend. Might as well. I think Patrick Mahomes might be one of those guys that at the end of his career, he probably well, you can't say that about too many people, but I don't know if he's ever going to leave Kansas City. The New York Yankees are beating up on Kansas City 10-2. Wow. Interesting stuff. Aaron Judge, 469 feet he hit?
Yeah, just average Tuesday for him.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing his batting average has to be at 397 is where we are, I guess.
I think it's close to it. The fact he's even close to 400 at this point is insane.
Yeah, when that's one thing I certainly hate about baseball. It's now the emphasis or de-emphasizing of batting average. It's just about OPS, and I'm just like, no, but I want to be able to see a baseball player who can get on base, who can hit a single or a double or a triple, actually make contact. It's just the game has evolved in such a way where it's crazy to think that he's batting close to 400. I mean, we got Major League Baseball players now that are batting like 218 and 220. You see all-stars now with averages of 240 that aren't just, you know, a catcher somewhere. Like, in what world and era is a guy an all-star batting 240? Just not my cup of tea. Anyway, Aaron Judge doesn't have to worry about that. Every time this man plays baseball, it's like a grown-ass man playing with children on a baseball field, okay? Anyway, it's the end of the show. You know what that means? It's time to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
In the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything, and it was primitive and lousy, and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Today, as it's been all day long, it's June 10th. The year is 2025. But if we go back in time, well, there's a few things that we can check out. So let's do it. June 10th, 1981. Pete Rose, he tied Stan the Man's NL record of 3,630 hits. A matter of fact, he got this hit off of Nolan Ryan. Let's take a listen, courtesy of MLB.
They're certainly aware of Rose's opportunity to break Stan Musial's all-time record.
Ball is hit well. Here comes the center fielder, Scott. Cannot make the play. Base hit for Pete Rose. Oh, what a way to start this night. Sinking line drive for Rose, and he ties Stan Musial.
Well, that ball will go to the Hall of Fame. Number 3,630.
Yeah, we know that guy ended up with a whole lot more hits than that. And by the way, that game they lost, the Astros beat the Phillies. That's where he was playing at the time. 3-2. Pete Rose ultimately finished with 4,256 hits. And now it's just a matter of if he ever gets into the Hall of Fame. If it does happen, it is not going to happen soon. June 10th. 1989. Well, this is pretty normal. Wayne Gretzky. This man got his hands on his record 9th MVP trophy. His 9th Hart trophy. He won it 8 straight times from 80 to 87. Picked up this other one in 89. Wayne Gretzky. I don't care how many goals Ovechkin has. Wayne Gretzky is still the great one. Listen to this video from the NHL.
Beginning in 1979-80, his first season in the National Hockey League, Wayne Gretzky won the Hart Trophy as the league's most valuable player 8 consecutive times. After Mario Lemieux ended that streak in 1987-88, Gretzky registered 54 goals and 168 points the following season, his first with the Los Angeles Kings.
No question, my friend Wayne Gretzky.
And now you can watch Wayne Gretzky fall asleep during some of these Stanley Cup Finals matches. He gets sleepy at night, okay? Anyway, June 10th, 1995. I don't know what this man was giving these horses. Shout out to all my race fans out there putting down that money at the track. Trainer Wayne Lucas, he won his 5th straight Triple Crown race with his horse, this time Thunder Gulch. It won the Belmont Stakes, okay? He's the first trainer to win the Triple Crown with 2 different horses. It's a wild situation. Let's take a listen to this. This is Thunder Gulch winning the Belmont.
Thunder Gulch unwavering on the outside. Star Standard is giving his all. second best today. It's going to be Thunder Gulch. The Derby winner has won the Belmont Stakes. And trainer Wayne Lucas into the Triple Crown record books.
Man, I know that announcer. I know he was wearing one of them funny hats. Like, you can't have an announcer voice like that and just be normal. Let's just put it that way. Well, dress normal. Let me move on. June 10th, 1996. How about this? We have the conclusion to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Colorado Avalanche. They went out there and beat, guess who? The Florida Panthers. They swept them in the Stanley Cup Final. But the fourth game, it took three overtimes. Thank you to Uwe Krupp for ending it in the third. Listen to this, courtesy of ESPN.
Garpenlund spun around. Young moving to the middle. Young the shot. And it went off the glass high over the net. Mellenby trying to clear. Didn't get it out. Sakic held it in. Still held in. Uwe Krupp shot and score!
Man, I felt like I was watching Patrick Roy yesterday, but damn it, to me, the 90s felt like yesterday. So what am I going to do? Anyway, I had a whole conversation with somebody about Sizzler yesterday. Okay. And Blockbuster. Seriously, I did. June 10th, 2018. Oh, this guy's retired too. But we did see him kind of sort of yesterday. Rafael Nadal. He won his 11th French Open. He beat Dominic Thiem. To win his 11th, the guy ended up with 14. All Rafa Nadal did is win. And now he can just stay retired. Listen to him win his 11th out of his 14th French Open.
Nadal serves now a fifth match point. He serves out to the team backhand. Down the line! It is long from Dominic Thiem! Rafa, the incomparable in Paris! 6-4, 6-3, 6-2. He crushes Dominic Thiem. 2 hours and 42 minutes. An 11th Roland Garros title. A 17th Grand Slam for Rafa Nadal.
Yeah, well, 2.5 hours. Oh, yeah, that's... Man, that's that marathon we had on Sunday. Oh, my God. He played 5.5 hours, Alcaraz in center. I don't like center because he's the guy that was... getting that stuff rubbed on his body. A cheater. Appropriate last name, Senna. Okay? Anyway, that was some recent history from Sunday. And that is a few things. Those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's been June 10th all day long. Man, I started watching that match, and then I went outside. And then I came back inside. They were still 5.5 hours? Damn. Did you watch that match? Did you see any of it on Sunday?
I turned it on in the fourth set, and I watched it to the end, and it still felt like 1,000 years long.
Oh, my God. 5.5 hours long. Sheesh.
And it wasn't even boring either. It was just long.
It was great. Yeah, it was great. It wasn't crap. Shout outs to Coco Gauff as well. It was nice to see her pick up another one. First French Open. That's pretty cool to see. She's going to be around for quite some time. How old is Coco's 21 now. Yeah, so. Yeah, she's not going anywhere. Maybe Sabalenka won't cry next time. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, championship season. Next thing you know, well, it's not a championship. Next thing you know, we'll blink. We'll have a MLB All-Star game here in Atlanta. We got the NBA draft that's coming up. Give it another month and change. Excuse me. Get rid of all these mini camps and this and that. We're going to have real training camp. Yeah, there's a lot going on. A lot. Am I missing anything, Bacha? Is that it?
I don't know. Maybe some Ocho, ESPN Ocho.
What are they going to
do? Dodgeball.
Darts?
Darts. Oh, darts is coming to New York, I think, in the next 2 weeks.
What do you mean dart? What are they going to have? Darts at Madison Square Garden?
I think so. I think it's in the smaller part of the garden.
Get out of here. The arena.
Yep, the arena. I think it's in like one of the theater part or the smaller venue in the garden. Yeah. But I think it's a 2-day event.
Wow. I remember the garden used to have a smaller expo space. I don't know if they've done that with the remodeling from... more than a decade ago. But look, if they ever have darts in Madison Square Garden in the main arena, that's when I know I need to quit. Okay, I'll quit when they have darts in the main arena. That's just
they do have like their 20-year-old phenom or was named Luke something, Litter Ritter.
Where is he? Is he? He's not American, is he?
He's not American. I think he's English, and he's like he's very, very young, and he's very good.
You keep up with darts, huh?
No, but this guy was on my feed because he got like a nine darter, I think it's called, when you get all the numbers as quick as possible.
Yeah, I was like, wow, look at you. Just all things darts, I know who to talk to. Well, thank you, Botcher. Anyway, Botcher, thank you for a great show, man.
Oh, thank you for a great show.
Yeah, I just show up and try not to get fired. Hey, thank you so much to Hub Arkish for coming through, having a chat with us NFL analysts based out of Chicago. Love Chicago. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Let's see if anybody else decides to show up to work tomorrow from an NFL perspective. I don't think Trey Hendrickson's going to show up. James Cook will show up. We're going to have a lot to get into. NBA Finals Game 3 is tomorrow. And then, of course, here on this show, I'll be sharing with you a new top six list. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about some cheapskate behind owners. Okay, we got a lot to do. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. The JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done. But don't move. Don't go anywhere. Bart Winkler is coming up next. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Botcher.